My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. And in a year where most of us here in the UK didn't get to go over to Florida, and in fact the theme parks had to close their doors for a few months, it's been even more important to talk about our favourite place and share our magical stories. So on this week's podcast, the final one of 2020, we look back at some of our guests this year talking about their favourite place on Earth. The most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World.
And they said, right, we're only going to do one day at Disney, which already irritated me. And they said, we all want to go to Epcot. And I said, sorry, if you're doing one day at Disney, there is only one park that you go, and that is the Magic Kingdom. I'm not doing Epcot. It looks fairly dull. It's not as exciting. I don't mind doing it as a second day, but as the first day, I'm doing Magic Kingdom. Thanks very much. So I went on my own to Magic Kingdom. They all went off to Epcot. But the trouble is, at the time, I was a little bit larger than I am now, and it was, of course, very hot, being the summer. And I made the mistake of wearing electric yellow shorts and an electric blue polo top.
Wow.
And I, on your own, walking around Disney, a little bit larger, sweaty, wearing very bright colours, you do look a bit suspicious. And I think it was during Adventures with Belle, which I had no idea what that was at the time, because it was just, they had just expanded Fantasyland. So yeah. I thought, oh, this is going to be like the Peter Pan ride or Snow White. You're going to sit and go through. Well, as we all know, it's not. End up sitting in a room with Belle, having to march around the room singing Be Our Guest, holding a cardboard fork. When you don't have a three-year-old with you, that is quite awkward.
Yeah, meeting my husband was quite, you know, a good memory. I can still remember this to this day, not being able to pronounce his name for like the first 3 months, because he's Welsh and his name's Geraint, and when you see it written down, it's like, what?
Did you work together in the pub?
Well, I started in the August, and he didn't actually arrive until the following March. So he was actually front of house, and I was actually a server. So, we have a joke that I kind of stalked him, because I was just saying to my friends, like, oh, there's this really nice guy. And yeah, we just got talking, and we went to Hollywood Studios one day together, and we went on Toy Story Mania. And we sat in ABC Commissary, and he told me how crazy him and his family were about Disney. And I was just like, this is the one. Honestly. I always knew that I needed somebody who was crazy about Disney to understand it. And I hit the jackpot. And his family as well. I've been very lucky. They're just as crazy.
On Toy Story Mania, on that first date, did he let you win?
No. So his family take Toy Story Mania very seriously. So no, he didn't let me win.
I did actually line up, and we started off and we ran around, and my husband stayed with me. He's a much faster runner than me, but he stayed with me for all the races because I wasn't feeling too good. But we got round together, and we got past the Toy Soldier Green Army Man, who is amazing. I don't think he was there this year, but on our year, out on the freeways as you're running the roads, he's there shouting at everyone.
Oh, right.
A sort of motivation, but it's great fun. But he's there, come on, I can go faster than you. You're not running. This is a run, not a walk. Keep going. Drop and give me 20, you know, he's proper full on. So that was really good fun. So I'm glad I saw him. But I was struggling, and it was quite a warm day. So unfortunately, the heat and the bug got the better of me. And I started wobbling. And at mile 25, the medics pulled me off the course.
A mile 25, so you were so near the end.
I know. Thankfully, I don't remember any of that, because I think I was a bit delirious at that point.
You'd really gone.
They sort of pulled me off and sort of sat me down, and apparently I was arguing with them, saying, no, I have to keep going, the balloon ladies are coming.
Get me a mobility scooter.
Get me to the finish line. They took my temperature, and it was 103, which apparently is not very good.
Yeah, that's high. That I've found how high a temperature should be over the last few weeks. I'm quite up to how high temperature should
be. All right.
So, did you still get your medal?
Yes. As long as you start the race, you get your medal, but you don't get your dopey medal. You get the marathon medal, but not the challenge, because I didn't finish. That's a finishing medal. So it was a bit.
Did your husband finish?
No, I was there apparently doing my best, sort of, you know, damsel in distress, telling him go without me, run. But he stayed with me because they took me sort of in a golf buggy backstage, and I had a little paddling pool full of ice to get my temperature down.
Oh, sounds like fun.
So yeah, I was like, oh, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. And then apparently they couldn't stabilise my temperature. So then that was a little hospital trip. So a little ambulance to Celebration.
Yeah.
So that was my little trip to Celebration, was to the hospital and an overnight stay.
Oh, how exciting.
It was different. Not many people did that on the Disney itinerary, I don't think. So
nobody's ever mentioned it before about when we talk about places to stay. Nobody's ever mentioned the hospital in Celebration.
Indeed.
My six-year-old, bless his heart, I think has probably gone through every single menu on the My Disney Experience app. And
he's gone through the menu.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a foodie, that one. He well and truly is a foodie. He's gone through the menus and figured out what he wants to eat as to whether or not it's a restaurant worth visiting.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let him make the decisions. So have you got a particular favourite restaurant?
I do. My favourite restaurant is actually Gico over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, one of the signature dining restaurants there. The first time we tried it was actually on my honeymoon. We were staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge for honeymoon. We decided to eat there. And I think the atmosphere is just incredible. It's really intimate. It's really welcoming. And the food just is a bit of a step away from kind of standardized theme park food, but it's not kind of traditional, inverted commas, like fine dining. You still feel like you're experimenting, trying something new, being a bit more open-minded. And I just think there's something so lovely about Animal Kingdom Lodge that somehow you're in the immersive environment of being in Disney World, but yet it doesn't quite feel like Disney World all at the same time.
Would you say that that's your favourite resort to stay at?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. For exactly that reason, you can kind of leave the parks behind and have a rest, but still feel like you're completely detached. I think they've done a really good job of balancing the immersive nature without being, you know, Mickey Mouse overload.
Is that where you're going to be staying in September?
No, we are actually in Port Orleans Riverside in September.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's another one of my favourites for mostly the same reason. It's just a bit calmer, bit of a change of pace.
Which restaurants have you gone for this time round with having kids? Oh. I'm guessing Gico's not on the list.
Oh, no, it's signature dining with three kids. Gico is on the list. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My kids are quite adventurous eaters. So there's a lot more character meals, obviously, on the, let's say, on the menu this time. but we're trying not to go with the really obvious ones. So we're avoiding Chef Mickey's and things like that. I think we're doing Tusker House over in Animal Kingdom.
It's one of my faves.
We are doing I can't remember what it's called. The breakfast with Rapunzel and Flynn. Because again, my son sat there and went, we can't just go see princesses. We have to find some princes as well. Otherwise, Obviously, first trip with the children. I've got two girls, one boy. There's Cinderella's Royal Table on there for the tail end of the trip. They have been told, as kind of way of behavioral incentive, that only really well-behaved children, so true princesses or true heroes, get an invitation to Cinderella's Royal Table. It's not something you can book. You have to be invited. And if their behavior isn't that of a true princess or a true hero, then they're just not going to get to go.
That's great. You've got 5 months of blackmailing now that you can use.
Well, that's the plan.
Yeah, we use Rider Switch really quite heavily. They seem to be doing it now as they award you a bonus fast pass.
Oh, okay.
So you literally go up to the people at the entrance to the ride, so you don't even start queuing. You say, I would like to ride second, and whoever's riding second, they tap your magic band and you can go off with your little un and go and do whatever you want. So the first day I went there, we went to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I went on it first, and my wife went and did Winnie the Pooh with my son. And then we swapped over and I went and did Little Mermaid with him. So it was a really good use of time. There was, even if you're queuing, the other person can be doing something completely different and not waiting or staying. And it works really well. In fact, you can sometimes cheat it slightly and try and double up your fast passes. If you go up to them with not long left on your fast pass and say, we've got we've both got fast passes, but we need a rider switch. Sometimes you can get your fast pass and get a rider switch in all in one go. It was quite useful. So my other half managed to ride back-to-back Flight of Passage.
Oh, wow.
With fast pass, which was fantastic.
So I actually went for the last Illumination show. The 30th of September, and I flew out that morning, did the Illuminations, last Illuminations, and then watched the first Epcot Forever, and then flew back home on the Wednesday.
So it was there. That is a flying visit and a half, isn't it? So how many nights was that?
That was 2 nights, 50 hours in the US in total.
Wow. So I suppose you never even got a chance to get jet lag because you just stayed in that time zone, or did you just not sleep for 2 hours?
I would just, sleep when you can, go when you're awake. And I was jet lagged for about a week once I came back. I was absolutely no help to anyone.
Jet lagged or just knackered?
Yes, that was definitely the one.
So what was it like being at the last Illuminations? Because obviously I was 20-odd years that was the big finale of the night at Epcot. So it's got a lot of emotion for a lot of people, a lot of emotional attachments. What was the atmosphere like that night?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I get goosebumps when I think about it. As I was walking around Epcot, I landed about 3:30 that afternoon, and by 7 o'clock I was already in Epcot, rushing around like a lunatic trying to get my fast passes in. Made sure I got on Spaceship Earth before that closes, and then got in my position. But I was talking to loads of people, and there was one couple that actually live close to Disney, and they were telling me how they came to the first Illumination show together, and then they come back for the last one, and it absolutely melted my heart.
Oh, wow.
It was truly incredible.
It was Hurricane Dorian, and it was making landfall. We arrived on the Saturday, and it was set to hit on the Wednesday, but it was a really bizarre situation because as we were arriving, American residents, I'm assuming for the Orlando area, were checking out. So we were checking in as they were checking out, which was really bizarre.
And they were escaping.
They were escaping, and we're like, this is great. Because the parks were empty. Like, we weren't queuing for anything. We had fast passes for things like Flight of Passage, Toy Story Mania, and we didn't actually use them. We could just, the queue was that short, we didn't need to use the fast pass. We had them, but we didn't use them. We just walked straight in. They didn't even open the fast pass lines because it was just so quiet and they were absolutely
great.
Wow.
So the first few days of your holiday, you're obviously like, it was like having the parks to yourself.
Yeah. The bizarre part is it was 2 days. We landed 2 days after Galaxy's Edge opened, the new Star Wars. So we were expecting peak crowds because of that. But because the hurricane came at that time, it was still dead quiet. So we were like experiencing Galaxy's Edge when we were expecting really big crowds, and it wasn't. It was so chilled, and it was really good because we just got to like take it all in first time, which was great.
I went on pretty much every day and looked for those reservations on my app. Once our Ohana one came up, I grabbed it for whatever day it was. I think it was on like a Tuesday at 9 p.m. and my parents were like, I'm not eating at 9 o'clock. I was like, you will eat there. I was like, if you don't want to go, me and my sister will go, and you guys don't have to come with us. So I was like, I am going to Ohana. I heard so much about it last time and we couldn't do it, so I have to do it. But then I spent time after that going on the app and checking to see if I could make the booking earlier. So I'd go on, I'd be like, oh, can I modify the booking? And so I got it down to 8 o'clock in the evening, which would have been firework time. So we probably should have stuck with that booking. But then once we got to the parks, I was on my app all the time looking for different times to go eat. We were changing things up. So I got to change my both of my restaurant recommendations. So instead of going at 8 o'clock at night for the first time we went to Ohana, I got it at 5:30. And it was quiet. It was great. We ate there. And then I happened to, we were on the dining plan. So the dining plan with one quick service and one sit down meal credit. And it meant that we decided on our last night that we wanted to go back to Ohana. So I sat on my phone for a few hours and I got myself another reservation, brought it at 9 o'clock, and I brought it down to like 4:30 at some point. So we got to go for a second time. It is 100% possible. And same with fast passes.
We literally landed at whatever it was, like 2 o'clock. Within 2 hours of landing, we went to Hollywood Studios and we were sat down watching the stunt show of Indiana Jones.
Yes, that's how you do it. Straight off the plane, straight in the parks. Well, I suppose if you're limited on time, there's so much to get in.
There was no messing around. And my husband just didn't get... Before we were going, I was like, we need to plan. We need to get fast passes. And he's quite a planner anyway, but he just couldn't... He didn't understand why. And then when we got there, it was like, ah... Right, okay.
When you see 2 hour queues and you're like, okay, get now while you've done that.
Like organised fun police. I'm all for it. And it totally paid off. I think, you know, we were sat doing the Indiana Jones. That is probably my most vivid memory of my dad. I remember seeing that show. So that was the first thing we did, and I just like burst into tears, obviously a bit jet lagged. I was like, I can't believe I'm here.
Back here already.
So good.
Probably one of my favourite magic moments was from a cast member who was emptying the bins in Magic Kingdom. And of course, I was rocking my mini ears. And the cast member stood up straight and pointed at me and was like, the boss's wife, quick, look busy. Obviously referring to me as Minnie Mouse. Yeah. And it really made my whole holiday. Everyone obviously has their own magical moments. And that really is what makes Disney so special. But that is one of my favourite memories that I will always remember.
Isn't that strange? Just the slightest little thing like that, and that's the one thing that's stuck in your mind forever.
Absolutely, like, yeah, it's like the small magic moments. And when I'm ever telling anybody that hasn't been to Disney World, I always pull up out that story, because I think to myself, that cast member was just emptying the bins, you know. He could have just done it with a smile and that would have been lovely, but like going the extra mile, all those magic moments, that's what makes Disney so special for me.
And a massive thank you to every single podcast guest who shared some of their Walt Disney World stories and their magical adventures with us on the podcast this year. Don't forget, we will be back in the new year, and hopefully 2021, we will finally get that trip to Walt Disney World. Meanwhile, if you would like to be a podcast guest next year, it doesn't matter how many times you've been or when the last time you went, we would still love to hear about your Walt Disney World adventures. You can drop me a message on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We are at PodMagical. And until next time, I hope Christmas brings you all the joy and magic you wish for, and a very happy 2021. And we'll see you in the new year. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.